We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to WMIE 91.5 FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. Thank you for listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's my privilege to spend the next half hour with you. I have the privilege of pastoring Merritt Assembly of God. Sunday night this week, we had a missionary that was with us, and he was just amazed at the reception that he received at the church and all they're going to be able to do once they return back to the mission field because of the response of Merritt Assembly of God. So if you're listening to me and you were there Sunday night, we want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for your response to missions. Today we're going to be in Isaiah 59. We're going to be concluding this chapter. And This is one of the things that I believe very strongly in. It's verse number 21 says this: "As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore." God is a God of covenant. He is a covenant keeping God. And covenants work both ways. For us, we bring our assets and our liabilities to the table. For God, he brings all of the assets because he has no liabilities. He brings his character. He brings his power. He brings his promises and his protection and his provision. God is a wonderful, wonderful God, and he tells here in Isaiah 59 that with everything that has been talked about here in changing and transforming a society, he said, "My desire is to create a covenant with them." And it wasn't just a legal covenant where it was words on a paper, words on a page. It was a covenant that was meant to touch the spirit. It was the spirit of the living God was involved, and it was supposed to transform human beings at as far as the spirit of our makeup, body, soul, and spirit. A lot of times we approach things from a carnal standpoint, but God says, I want to create a spirit. A spiritual covenant that is going to radically impact this world. By the way, I forgot to thank Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. If they can be of benefit to you, I encourage you to give them a call. In fact, I'll be having lunch today with Bill getting to have some fellowship with him. And so if he can be a blessing to you, whether it's your heater or your air conditioner, give him a call and he will get you fixed up. So a lot of people come to God and they treat him like a one-night stand. They treat him like a get-out-of-jail card. They treat him like an emergency phone number. They call upon God like a 911 system. And God said, "I'm looking for a covenant people. I'm looking for a people who are there with me because they want to be with me." And so he says here, this is my covenant with them. By the way, it's established by him. One of the things I will tell you is the Old Testament and the New Testament are also referred to as the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. Jesus came and established the New Covenant in his blood and in his broken body. But it's still a covenant. There was a covenant with Noah. that was made, that he would not destroy the earth by flood anymore. Some of the men, one of the families from our church, the husband gave me a video, because in Kentucky they have built a life-size scale Noah's Ark. And he came and said it was absolutely amazing. He brought back a video, and I watched that this week, of the timeline that was put in place to build it, and the process and the engineering expertise that went into it. And it looks like an amazing, amazing thing. But that ark, when God saw the sacrifice that Noah had made upon exiting the ark, he established a covenant, and he said he would never again destroy the earth by flood. Okay, and so you have to realize that this was a global flood that wiped out, it decimated all of humanity except for Noah and his family, Noah and his kids, and their wives. I believe eight people in total were what survived the ark, that and some animals. And God has been keeping that covenant ever since. And the God who made the first covenant, he made the second, not because there was anything defective on his part with the first covenant, but because we couldn't do it. If you look at the end of Joshua, the 24th chapter of Joshua, I'm turning there, so it might take me just a minute. There is a opportunity that is presented by Joshua to the people of Israel. He says, "Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth." This is verse number 14, Joshua 24:14, "and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." Everything sounds great right up until this point in time. But listen to how Joshua responded. "Joshua said to the people, 'You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good.' And the people said to Joshua, 'No, but we will serve the Lord.'" And they served. Listen to what it says in verse number 31. "Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and all the days of the elders who outlived Joshua, who had known all the works of the Lord which he had done for Israel. But after that generation passed, then they began to turn their backs upon God." Joshua told them, he said, "You've got to make a choice. You've got to choose whether you're going to serve. You're going to choose to serve God, or you're going to choose to serve other nations' gods. Which will it be?" And they said, "We're going to serve the Lord." And Joshua said, "You do not have the ability in yourself to meet all the requirements that God has written in this covenant." And folks, I want you to know, I don't have everything inside of me that it would have taken to fulfill that covenant. Because there's been times that I've told a lie. There's been times that I stole something. I mean, it was a very memorable experience for me as a child. My mother made me walk back into the store manager and return the candy bar that I needed that I didn't have money to pay for. And then I paid a price for it when I got home. You see, there's covenant There's problems there that the human condition, the fallen nature of man, prevent us from being able to fulfill in our own nature. And the Bible says that if we are guilty in one area of the law, we are guilty of violating the whole thing. We've talked about how Jesus didn't lower the standard of righteousness in the New Testament. He elevated it. Thou shalt not kill in the Old Testament meant thou shalt not hate your brother without cause in the New Testament. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The bar was raised to thou shalt not look lustfully at a woman that's not your wife. Those are elevations. There are things that are taking place there that God says, I'm establishing a new covenant. He said, but in this new covenant, instead of putting the requirements of you fulfilling it, I'm going to fulfill all the law and the prophets in my life, Jesus Christ, and I, because you and I are walking in covenant together, we are going to see you live a righteous and holy life. So where everybody before had the mindset of dotting every I and crossing every T, God says that he wants this spirit, this new covenant, to be a covenant of spirit, that it is something that he creates a different mindset and a different attitude, where we don't say, okay, we've sacrificed the offering and God has forgiven us. And so now, since we've seen that he can forgive us of that, we can go out and do that again until next year, and then we'll come back and get forgiven again. That was kind of the old mindset. By the way, under that old covenant, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Okay. And so... We need to understand that violating a covenant with God, it isn't a cost-free violation. It still produces separation between us and God. But God said that he was going to transform society. He was going to come in like a standard and like a pent-up flood. He was going to come in such a way that the spirit that was upon Isaiah and the words that God put in his mouth, that those two things, the Spirit of the living God and the Word of God, would be placed inside of the covenant people. Listen to what it says, that I have the words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, it's not that they would not be spoken. It was saying that his mouth was going to be filled with the Word of God, that when he spoke, that it was going to be the word of God that came out. And that's why the Bible talks about that there shouldn't be blessing and cursing coming out of our mouths. It should be a fountain of life. It should be a fountain of the wisdom of God. It should be a fountain of faith. And so out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you look at what's going on in your heart, or in your mouth, you will see what is going on in your heart. God's saying, I'm going to produce such a transformation in you that it's going to be my spirit in you, my spirit filling your mouth with the words of life, and it is going to impact your descendants. Your descendants. You know, it's a challenging thing, raising children in a society that is plagued by evil. There's evil that is concealed in all sorts of things. There's a lot of movies and that are made to look cool, but in essence, the very foundation of them is evil. And so there are people nowadays that say things multiple times in a sentence that were rarely heard when I was growing up. I mean, it was considered the vilest of the vile things that you could say to a person. And now it is commonplace. I'll never forget going on a high school campus with one of my kids and seeing the things that I saw going on and hearing the words that and it was like, oh man, does this place need Jesus? I actually had conversations with people in the school board because of things that were being done on the theatrical stage of a high school, things that would get you kicked out of school or your teacher would not put up with in class, and yet it was being promoted from the theatrical stage. There's a lot of places that are presenting challenges for parents to raise up godly children. But here's what the covenant that God said he wanted to establish was, is that he would put the words in our mouth and that he would put the words in the mouth of our descendants. Now, from what I can observe, there is a disconnect that happens with our children receiving or rejecting the principles of God if they hear one thing coming out of our mouth and seeing something different taking place in our everyday life. Now, that can happen if there's not been a change of heart or a change of spirit. You can talk a good game at church and then go home and live like the devil. I had a pastor that I worked for one time, and he said, now I want to share with you some wisdom when it comes to doing funerals. He said, you and I know people from a church standpoint. We see them, see what they are like at church. Said, but their families live with them on a regular basis. And so don't preach someone to be such a saint that you are preaching them into heaven when kids are seeing a different reality at home. You don't know what is going on in their home. He said, conversely, there may be a person that you've known to live quite badly, but you don't know what God may have done in the last days of their life. I recently had a loved one that passed away, and I was told that during the time of their illness that a minister had managed to have a breakthrough in that person's life, and I'm very thankful to hear that. So you don't want to condemn someone to hell because you don't know what God by his Holy Spirit may have done in the last moments of their life. And so we need to make sure that there is a spiritual. I want to have so much evidence going on my side that I knew God, that I heard from God, that I loved God, served God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, that there would be more than enough evidence to convict me of being a born-again child of God. I don't want it to have to come down to my family hoping that I was saved. I've been in enough of those situations where there's families and they're just hanging on to a glimmer of hope that maybe somewhere, somehow, God in his mercy had brought about a great transformation in the waning seconds of a person's life. And so I want to challenge you today. Don't delay in entering into this covenant with God, because your children, their foundation is being formed. You want to take advantage of as much of the goodness of God in this life as you can. I want to walk in the favor of God for as long as I can. I want to walk in the blessings of God. I want to walk in the supernatural power of God. I want the goodness of God being demonstrated in my life for as long as possible, so that it not only makes me effective with the ministry that I have, but that it will also pass along to my children. And I thank God for my children, and I thank God for kids that are in ministry. You know, parents are in ministry and their kids grow up loving God and serving God. And I'll tell you one story about a pastor friend of mine. He's passed away now, but he always pastored very effective churches. I didn't come to know him until we were in Florida, but he was actually a pastor of a relative of mine back in Oklahoma at one point in time, and she was singing about going to heaven one night at a Sunday night service, she handed the microphone back to the pastor, and immediately she was in heaven. She died right there on the platform. Recently, that happened with a pastor over in Orlando, where he sang a song about heaven. He turned to his wife and said, "I just feel like I'm supposed to sing the song about heaven." And immediately upon finishing the song, he died and was in heaven. But that pastor, he had always pastored very effective, growing, healthy churches, built large buildings. And when I talked to him, he said, "I believe that I am standing upon the spiritual shoulders of my father." My father pastored all sorts of churches, and they were never very large churches, but I believe that I am standing upon his shoulders, because the ministry that God gave him, I'm reaping the harvest of all of the seeds that he's sown. And so my prayer for my kids, I've told you this before, I'll pray the same thing for your kids, and that is that I pray that they are more effective in communicating the gospel with the people in their sphere of influence than I have been in communicating the gospel with my life. The only way that can happen is if God takes his spirit and puts it in their heart and puts it in their life, and it doesn't depart out of their mouth. But it doesn't stop there. It goes on and it says, "Nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants." In other words, it should impact your grandchildren as well. You know, one of the things that I see that is attempted by the enemy here in America in 2017 is a generational disconnect, as if it is a bad thing for parents and grandparents and great-grandparents on many accounts to be disconnected from the influence of their kids. I'm just telling you that, you know, there can be some challenges. I happen to be a long way away from my parents. And, you know, the technology has advanced some now from our kids, but we're able to Skype with our grandparents. I know grandparents in our church, their grandparents are very young now, because I am one, but grandparents can now video call and video conference their kids. They can actually read to them nighttime stories. They can share the testimonies that God has brought up inside of us. You know, one time I was sharing the gospel. I just shared this story Sunday with a person at church. I don't remember exactly who it was, but I was in conversation with this person who was, I knew, he was not a Christian. He was actually he was more Muslim than anything. And I was talking to him, and this person said, "Bob, you make Jesus sound so real." And I called this person by name and I said, "You know, that is the easiest job in the world, because he is very, very real." You might say, "You know, there is nobody in my family that was a Christian before me." Start a new legacy. Let's be a pioneer of the covenant relationship with God that he wants to have with us. Don't delay another day. You can ask him into your heart, forgive you of your sins, to walk in covenant with you right now. Give him every aspect of your being and watch him fill you up with his wisdom, with faith, with grace, with his miraculous provision. He will fill you with the Holy Ghost and power. It will be the most remarkable transformation you have ever seen, and it will touch your family. You know, as far as sin goes, the Bible says that the curses of sin could reach down to the third or fourth generation. But God says that the blessings of those who walk in righteousness and obedience to all that God has, he said that he wants those blessings to reach down to 1,000 generations. I will tell you this, we need multi-generational ministries going on in our church. We have children's ministry, youth ministry, adult ministry. We're looking, you know, in the future to add young adult ministry. As God opens the door, we create a new ministry because we don't want anybody to miss out on the opportunity to hear about the goodness of God. We're not just looking for those people already walking in covenant with God. We're looking to impact those who haven't walked in covenant with him. And just like that thief on the cross, they can begin a new legacy of faith. That guy, I mean, it was the last hours of his life that he gave to the Lord. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. I don't want to wait till my deathbed. I don't want you to wait till your deathbed. I don't want to wait until the building is burning down and there is no hope of escape before you cry out to Jesus. I want to encourage you today. Make Jesus the highest priority in your life and allow him to work in you to such an extent that it will touch generation after generation after generation. The other night I was laying in bed. I was listening to some preaching that was going on, some very, very famous preachers, and they were talking about how when they go to bed at night, they listen to preaching of their mentor who died 15 years ago or so. They're listening to him and said, we're hearing some things we already heard before, but we're still learning some things that are in those ministry tapes, and it's still going on. You know, with technology, with the internet capabilities, this program doesn't end in a minute and 30 some seconds. It's on the internet. It will be out there for anybody to listen to, where you too can find out that Jesus loves you. Jesus came to establish a covenant with you. I don't want anyone out there to think that God just wanted to have a one-time encounter with you at an altar and that it was all that he ever cared about. I want you to know he wants to do life with you on a regular basis. He wants to teach you how to do life his way, because his way is the best way. Hallelujah. We're going to be having church tonight. 6 p.m. is when the kids' ministry food part will begin. 6:30, the classes will begin. Adult Bible study begins 7 o'clock and goes until 7:45. So we look forward to being with you there. Let's close out today's broadcast with a bit of prayer, if we could. Father, we come to you right now, and we ask you in Jesus' name for a transformed spirit so that we can walk in the covenant that you want for us, a covenant of life, a covenant of peace. God, I pray that our mouths would be filled with the word of God. I pray that our spirits would be transformed to reflect the forgiven nature that we have been blessed with through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Touch the generations and touch the world through the people of Brevard County, we pray. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.